It's an irony. It hints of the rampant corruption that is around the world. And it talks about an unfairness that the poor gets poor and the rich get rich. And the song speaks about other things, about lies that is going around us, the longing to be loved, but then disappointed by unfaithfulness that we see around us, or even we have experienced in our own relationships. And the broken feeling that death brings to everyone. And everybody knows about this reality. That's what the song is trying to say. But nobody can do anything about it. Or perhaps there are other realities that we also face in life. It could be a rough situation at home, the pain and sorrow of losing a loved one, the need to find security and hope beyond something else in this world, the feeling of no fulfillment, the meaningless paper chase, the fear of death, or simply needing a peace that is beyond this world. And so as I was reflecting on the song and the movie, I thought there is a big gap between what the superheroes are doing and the realities of life. You know, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman cannot save us from the real issues that we face in life. And of course, they are fictitious characters. They don't even exist in the first place. And how we wish that there is a superhero deep down in us that can really take on these realities in life that we face every day. And the one we need is not about the one that flies across buildings or fight aliens. The superhero we want is not someone who adds more violence and destructions. And if we are honest with ourselves, we want someone who really understands that we are human, that we have pain and struggle, that we make mistakes and need forgiveness. Someone who can empathize with us, and someone who knows that we are not perfect. Is there such a person? Someone who cares for our lives, and yet he is powerful enough to restore our broken life. Well, the good news is this. Christmas, God sent this person. You know, the last song that we sang, it came upon a midnight clear. And there was one part that it says, of peace on earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. Now, who is this person? Why did he come? What did he come to do? And how will he relate to us? Now, we heard the passage, but let me read this prophecy once again. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry aloud or lift up his voice, or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his law. A little bit of background. This prophecy was written thousands of years ago, and God was speaking to his people in Israel. They were living in exile, but why did these people lose their homeland and living in exile? Well, they have made mistakes, they have sinned against God, and despite much encouragement and warnings, they would not want to listen to God. And finally, God allowed them to face the consequence of their mistakes. and they became slaves in another nation and living in great despair. And they saw there is no hope for them in their situation. There's nothing to look forward in the future. But this prophecy, God is telling them that no matter what, I still love you. I have not forgotten you. And he promised to send someone that he describes in this prophecy to deliver his people. But you know, the savior that God has in mind is not the superheroes like in Justice League. He is not someone that will fight more wars or shed more blood or cause more damages in this world. He will not come in great fanfare. His mission is not so much to change our external environment. You see, God wants to save his people and us from something deeper, the root problem. You see, if God just changed our external environment or a mere return, help them to return from the exile, that will not automatically produce a different behavior. And likewise, if God just take away all our problems, it doesn't mean that our hearts will be right with him. God knows that the someone he sends must be able to bring us back to a right relationship with him. He is someone who has the authority to forgive and to reconcile us with God. Someone who can be our hope and our security in this dark and broken world. So who is this someone that God describes? He says that this is his servant. A servant in this context is not like he is our helper. Remember, he is God's servant. He's not an ordinary person. And he is someone that God has appointed, whom I uphold. He is God's chosen one. And that is to say that this person represents God through the nations. And God says, I will put my spirit upon him. And that means that God has empowered his authority to teach and to do things that God does. Now, who is this servant that God has appointed to bring us salvation and hope? There's only one person in history who has fulfilled this prophecy. You see, 700 years after Isaiah, about 700 years after Isaiah's prophecy, that person that God sent is his son, Jesus Christ. Now, in a short while, some of our brothers and sisters will be stepping forward for baptism and to transfer in their membership here. And one of the lessons that we covered is the person of Jesus Christ. And in that lesson that we learned, the lesson we learned that Jesus says and does things that only God can do. One of the things that Jesus did was to forgive people's sin. And if you are living in those times, you would know that only one person can forgive sin, and that is God. But Jesus does what God does. He forgives sins. And there are a number of occasions where Jesus heals the sick. If you read the Bible, the Gospels, it is not an ordinary ailment. He made the blind see, the lame walk, the paralyzed can stand again. These are the extraordinary things that he does to heal the sick. And the healings points that Jesus is the one that God sent, because no one can do such things other than God. And the gospel also records Jesus having authority over the physical and the spiritual realm. He could control the storm, still the storm, and even evil and the demons fear him. And Jesus holds the key to life. There are several occasions in the gospel where Jesus rose the dead. He rose a little girl from the dead. In another account, a widow lost her son, and Jesus raised him to life. And in John 11, Jesus raised another man who was buried for 3 days in the tomb. But more importantly, he himself, Christ, rose from the dead. And so his power over death tells us that death, that his power is not some sort of fantasy, but a truth that he himself demonstrated. You know the song, everybody knows, there's one line that talks about the broken feeling referring to death. And that's a reality that we face. But Christmas tells us that Jesus came to be born as one of us. He died, but he rose from the dead. And our greatest enemy, death, is defeated. It's not to say that we won't experience death. We are still on this side of eternity. But Jesus is our hope and security, even after life on earth. And the living God is also our hope and security now and for our future. And he tells that if we understand who Jesus is, then we won't go wrong if we trust him. I want to encourage you to read this booklet that you have later on, the Testament. They contain the testimonies of our baptism candidate, how our brothers and sisters came to know Christ, and how their lives are changed, and what made them trust Jesus. But I want to invite our brother Kokim to come and share with us how he came to believe in Jesus and find security in him.
I'd like to thank you, all of you, for this privilege to testify before God and yourself the goodness of God on this special day, Christmas Day. You see, before I received eternal life, I was always very fearful of what the future held for me. The thought of what would happen tomorrow, especially my studies and career, what kind of job I would get, also frightened me. I was always worrying. Very often in the night, I would gaze into the dark night sky, fix my eyes on the countless stars, and wondered if there was someone up there that could give me an answer. When I was in my final year of secondary education, my fear and worry became more intense. During that period, a few of my good friends told me that they had received eternal life. I was envious of their changed life, their positive outlook on life. I could sense the peace and joy in them, even as our O-level exams were approaching. Somehow, these friends and I ended up in the same junior college, and we would spend hours discussing religion and eternal life. Shortly after, a senior student in college shared with me the bridge illustration. I prayed to receive Jesus Christ, and I felt warmth in my heart. Gradually, I began to change. I no longer feared what would happen tomorrow. However, soon after I received eternal life, I was accepted as an engineering trainee with our national airlines. It was a much sought-after job for many school leavers. My education was paid for by the company, and at the same time, I'd also receive a monthly allowance. However, after 7 years with the company, the airline business went into recession. I was retrenched. Again, God provided a way out for me to work for the government, and he also gave me an overseas education. I have been through several company restructurings and job redundancies. In all these job uncertainties, I did not fear or worry about tomorrow. I know God will provide. He has given me eternal life, and I know that things on earth are only temporary. What a difference to know and experience that my security is in heaven. Thank you.
Thank you, Kok Kim. And from our brother's testimony, we learn that God is our security and our hope. Even as we live today, He's the one that can provide for us. Now, so far we heard that Jesus is God's servant. He's the one that we can put our hope and security in. But the passage in Isaiah also highlights a key ministry that our Lord came to do. And if you notice in the passage, three times in four verses, it says this, what Jesus will do when he comes. He will bring justice to the nations. He will bring forth justice. He establishes justice on earth. Now, what is justice? Different one of us would think of justice in a different way. Last week, there was a report where the Malaysian authorities found out that consumers and retailers nationwide were using a counterfeit brand of a very popular milk infant powder. Now, when we read of such things, there's something deep inside of us that wants justice. Can you imagine if our child or the child baby had drank that milk powder? We want someone to make right what is wrong. And justice can also be to fight for the concerns of the poor, the needy, and the marginalized. Now, this is the justice that Jesus came. But more than that, his justice includes making us right before God. All of us need that forgiveness. And we need Jesus to be our justice, to pay for the price of our sin. And this justice would also mean that he will one day establish a right order in what we see around us. You know, there's a line in this one of the songs that we sing, peace on earth, goodwill to men. And that is something that will be realized one day in this world. Well, perhaps some of us would think, okay, all that sounds great, but when we read the Straits Times, what we see is a world that is getting out of hand. There's mistrust, there is suspicion, there is evil, and there is terror that is on the rise. And this justice seems to be a little bit far-fetched. Christmas lies in a season in the Christian calendar that is called Advent. And as Christians, when we celebrate this season of Advent, which includes Christmas, it reminds us that there is the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Advent means coming or arrival. And we saw that Isaiah prophesies of Christ, and he has come in the first coming. But we are here in 2017, waiting in anticipation of the second advent, when Christ say he will come again, which he says in the book of Revelation, I am coming soon. And when he comes again, he will establish God's justice in this world. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus will come again, and when God comes, he will bring to a close what he has begun. And that is to say that evil will not go hidden. It will be dealt with. What is dark will be uncovered. It will face the judgment seat of God. And this promise also gives us confidence and hope in our own life that amidst the problems in life, amidst the evil that we see around us, we can look forward with confidence that God will one day establish his justice over all the earth when Christ comes again. So that is the good news of Christmas. God has sent his servant Jesus Christ, and Jesus will establish God's justice in this world. The here, he has come, but there is one more of his second coming that we look forward to. But as much as this passage tells us of the power and authority of Jesus, but what is also important and perhaps a surprise is how Jesus will come. How will he relate to our life? And this is what the passage says: a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. You know, in the olden days, people use a strip of cloth as a lamb wick. And so when it burns, when the cloth burns, it is really no use anymore. It cannot give light. And a reed is a tall wooden grass with a hollow stem, something like what you see in the picture. The point is, the wick and the bruised reed are very delicate and very fragile. No one really cares a lot about the wick or the reed. It's useless or easily stepped upon. And if not handled with care, they break. Now, recently, I was trying my hands on gardening. Not a very good gardener. I was trying to cultivate a plant. You can see it's dying. It's very difficult to be very gentle with this plant. The characteristic of the plant, at times my clumsy fingers just injured the leaf and then it starts to drop. And I come to realize that I also don't really understand this plant. I don't have the patience to care for it. And in the end, I murdered the plant. It's very heartbroken. Can you imagine if this plant is like your life and it falls into wrong hands that do not know how to guide your life? You know, the bruised reed and the smoldering wick are symbols of our lives. And the reed represents people whom the world ignore, people whom the world say, no use. And the wick is like a life that has been burned out and that is useless in the eyes of society. In our very result-orientated society, this two kind of life is like no value. But the passage tells us, a bruised reed Jesus will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. And what it means is that these lives, the hurting, the broken, are precious in God's sight. These are the lives that he came for. And if you read the gospel, Jesus often enjoys having meals and having conversation with these kinds of people. He has meals for those who need his forgiveness. Those who are broken, those who are sinners, he goes to them. And he tells us his mission in Mark. It is not, for the Son of God came not to serve, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, truth to be told, all of us have some form of brokenness in us. It could be that we are struggling with a rough situation at home, the feeling of no peace. Perhaps you have been hurt, the struggling with addiction or sin, the needing for peace, the needing of forgiveness. But Jesus says, a bruised reed I will not break, a smoldering wick I will not snuff out. He is the one that can restore our lives. And this Christmas, God wants all of us to know that Jesus came for you and for me. God put on human flesh to empathize with our human pain and struggle. And only Jesus can love us the way God loves us. All right, we heard about Christmas, and it brings us that wonderful hope. And the superhero that God provided for us is not an imaginary fantasy. He is God's servant, the one who has God's authority to forgive and to give life. He is our security, not in just the life to come, but also life now. And he comes to us not to condemn, but to heal and restore our lives. You know, perhaps some of us here, this is your first time in church, you have not heard a Christian message like that, you have not heard about Jesus Christ. You know, I want to encourage you to discover more about who this Jesus is. If he is really what the Bible claims, then we ought to give some thoughts, or at least give ourselves a chance to find out more about him. And I want to encourage you to talk to the person who brought you here. If you can get hold of the Bible, to read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus invites us to know him and to trust him to lead our lives. He is God's servant who came to establish justice and can tenderly restore our lives. Let us pray. I know some of us are here for the first time, and you hear this message. I hope that you leave here desiring to want to know more, to give yourself this chance and opportunity to find out more about him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you increase in us this capacity to want to know you. And for my friends who are here for the first time and hearing about this message, I pray, Father, that you give them that hunger to know you, that desire to want to come close to you, Lord. Help us, Lord, to know you more and more. And for those, Lord, who are hurting, who are burnt out in their lives, this is the Lord's word to you. A broken reed he will not break. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out. He is gentle to you. He invites you back to him. Father, for my brothers and sisters who are broken by relationship or hurts or even struggling, I ask that, Lord, your strength will be upon them. Give them the peace that you came to give this Christmas, Lord. That forgiveness, peace and hope in you, Lord. That is something that lasts for eternity. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Who are you? Where did you come from? Whatever state you are in, take heart and know that the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him.
In response to God's love for us, let us sing this song to welcome Jesus in our hearts. He came to bring warmth into this cold world, and he came to bring light into our life. Let us all stand together to sing the song.
Christmas isn't Christmas till it happens in your heart. Somewhere deep inside you is where Christmas really starts. So give your heart to Jesus. You'll discover when you do that is Christmas, really Christmas for you. Jesus brings warmth like a winter's fire, a light like a candle's glow. He's waiting now to come inside, as he did so long ago. Jesus brings gifts of truth and lives, and makes them bloom and glow. So welcome him with a song of joy, and when he comes, you know that's Christmas, isn't Christmas till it happens in your heart. Somewhere deep inside you is where Christmas really starts. So give your heart to Jesus. You'll discover when you do that is Christmas, really Christmas for you.
Jesus brings warmth into your life.
Jesus brings warmth like a winter's fire, a light like a candle's glow. It's waiting now to come inside, as he did so long ago. Jesus brings gifts of truth and life, and makes them bloom and grow. So welcome him with a song of joy, and when he comes, you'll know.
Let's sing together.
That's Christmas, isn't Christmas till it happens in your heart. Somewhere deep inside you is where Christmas really starts. So give your heart to Jesus. Christmas, really Christmas, Christmas, really Christmas, Christmas, really Christmas for you.
Indeed, O Lord, we pray that today the message, the song, will remind us of who you are and what you have done for us. Truly, O God, thank you for remembering us, for coming to the world not to judge, not to condemn, but to save us. So help us to leave this place with this hope and joy, knowing that you come for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.